Hello, everyone, and welcome to the South Carolina Disaster Corps podcast, the exclusive podcast that is dedicated to the education of South Carolinians in a variety of topics within emergency preparedness and strives to apply that knowledge to increase community awareness, resilience, and service. My name is Cameron Matthews, and I'm a South Carolina Disaster Corps team member. And in today's episode, I will be interviewing Brandy Singleton, the Director of Disaster Services and Community Impact.
Good morning.
All right, Brandy. So the first question I have for you today is, what is AmeriCorps?
AmeriCorps is basically the domestic Peace Corps. Everyone is familiar with the aspect of what the Peace Corps is and how you go into other countries and actually see what the problems are within their communities and then work together to take care of those issues. Here with what we do with AmeriCorps is AmeriCorps basically takes issues within local communities and we try to assess what the needs are in each community individually and then we try to meet those needs.
So following that, Brandy, what does AmeriCorps do in Anderson?
Well, previously, our AmeriCorps program was in education, and we provided tutors for children who were in the third grade in local area elementary schools. And then we saw that there was a shift in what the actual needs were, not just in Anderson, but South Carolina as a whole. When South Carolina was hit with a 1,000-year flood and the Columbia, you know, Midlands area was really, really hit hard with that, we kind of took a step back and assessed where we were. And we wanted to ensure that individuals within our community were prepared and ready in the event that something happens. We hope that it does not. However, we want to be prepared in the event that it does and we are able to take action.
So you said that it's across the state of South Carolina. How many various branches of AmeriCorps are there?
There are a lot of different branches of AmeriCorps. Some, like just within the state of South Carolina, we actually have several national AmeriCorps programs as well. So like Teach for America is in South Carolina. So I mean, we go from the national level to, of course, the community level. Our program specifically kind of caters to the upstate and then the Lowcountry region. However, all of our AmeriCorps teams have the ability to deploy. So the Anderson team, the Oconee team, the Georgetown Williamsburg team, like we all have the ability to deploy all across the state of South Carolina. So if an event were to happen in a Columbia, a Sherrill, Chesterfield, something like that, we have the ability to deploy and take care of needs within those communities as well.
Okay. What kind of situations usually require the response from any of the AmeriCorps teams?
Well, here locally, we have the ability to respond to local fires in partnership with the Red Cross. We can assist with that. We actually have the ability, we've deployed several times for hurricane assistance and flooding assistance. So when several hurricanes came through a couple of years ago, we had the ability to deploy to the Sherrill Chesterfield area and really assist them with, they were out of power for, I think, honestly, it was over, at this point, it had been 3 to 5 days they had been without power. And so folks were needing to get food and access to things of that nature, essential goods that they did not have the means to take care of. So we were able to go down and assist with that. And we deployed for a week and we're down there. So a lot of different things. A lot of times we do deploy for hurricanes just because we as a corps can fill in the gaps. So if there's a gap in like folks needing to deliver meals to shut-ins, we can fill that gap. If folks need people to actually, you know, go out and assess, you know, is this home abandoned? Those type things, we have the ability to do that as well. So we kind of fill in the gaps where there is a need within the community. We do not have a specific action that we plug into.
Brandy, do you have any other examples of the AmeriCorps team's members being deployed?
Yes, actually we deployed to Columbia when they were affected by the flooding event where they had, of course, damage and dams had actually broken and there were a lot of different things that no one anticipated. Well, the problem is a lot of communities have disaster plans in place, but what happens when all of your volunteer base is being affected as well? Because normally when something happens, you have it's a small percentage of individuals who are affected, and then you have your additional volunteer base that you can kind of pull those resources from. Well, in this event, everyone in the area was affected. So all of their volunteers who normally went in and ran like the Meals on Wheels routes, the, you know, things like that to actually get, you know, water and food to individuals who are shut in, they were unable to do that because all of their volunteers had been affected and now they were out of their homes. They had nowhere to go and they had had to leave the area as well. So what our team did is we deployed down and we were able to fill that gap, and our team actually was able to deliver the meals as well as cases of water to all the individuals who were on those routes so that the elderly and the folks who were homebound were able to still have access to those critical need items.
All right. So what benefits come from being an AmeriCorps team member?
AmeriCorps is a great experience for anyone who would like to give back to their community. Our program is a little different from other programs in that we have a lot of hands-on type stuff. So you could do anything from an event at an elementary school, you know, teaching kids about preparedness to, you know, operating a chainsaw and chopping down a tree. So it really kind of runs the spectrum there. But a lot of the benefits with being an AmeriCorps team member is you actually get that hands-on experience. You get that work experience. You get the ability to network with the individuals in your service area and the nonprofits in your area as well. And you're able to receive a living stipend as well as an education award at the end of your year. And so, of course, you are required to commit to that 1 year service term, but you can also serve up to 4 years. And we have been very, very fortunate in that we have had a lot of our members choose to stay the full 4 years. And then we've also had members actually find employment after they've completed our term of service here. And then they were able to, from the networking and the partnerships and all of the relationships that they were able to cultivate, were able to move right into the workforce after that.
You mentioned giving materials to students.
Yes.
In schools. What kind of materials do y'all normally give out?
Well, during blue skies, which in the emergency management world is when disasters aren't happening, which is rare, but we do have those very few days when we do have the ability to go out into the community. And what we do is we like to educate individuals, whether it be students, whether it be their parents, just individuals within the community on what preparedness is, how to build an emergency kit, how to have an emergency plan, because whether it's a small disaster or emergency to you, being you broke down on the side of the road and your car ran out of gas, that's an emergency. Or whether it is a tornado came through and you don't have a home. So like those type things, we try to let individuals know these are the steps, these are the basics, and here's how you become started with the program and how you actually build that foundation to be able to kind of build upon that. Because you're not just going to immediately go out and say, oh, I think I'll do a disaster plan and then have enough, you know, food for 3 months and, you know, a bunker in your backyard. But these are great steps to go ahead and get everyone started. And those things are just very simple tasks, like ensuring you have batteries for your flashlights, ensuring that you have water, that you have can openers, that you have non-perishable food items, you know, those type things, medication, making sure that you have those things, just kind of educating people on what the needs are and how to build that foundation of preparedness.
What kind of educational platforms do y'all normally use with AmeriCorps?
Well, we use a lot of the resources that are provided by ready.gov. We also use the FEMA Disaster Dodgers when we're going into the elementary schools. The kids love that. It's very, very kid-friendly. They have a lot of folks, a lot of that, I guess, peer groups providing the videos for that, and that the kids really enjoy the engagement there. And then we also partner with the Red Cross and doing their pillowcase projects and things like that. So we have a lot of connections within the community, and we just try to get that information out to those who need it.
Brandy, are there any training requirements to become a member of AmeriCorps?
Well, that is one of the great benefits of AmeriCorps, is that we provide the training. So when you may enjoy disaster and emergency preparedness, but you don't have any formal training. So what we do as a program when you are onboarded within our system is then we provide a member orientation and then also the required trainings. So for us, we require that our members go through FEMA training, they go through Red Cross training, we have CERT training, we have a lot of different trainings. And in order to complete all of those trainings, it usually takes about a month for everyone to kind of work through. And that really gives you a great foundation and overall understanding of what the disaster world looks like, and how, of course, we all know that all disasters are different and that no disasters are the same. However, we have the foundation to be able to build upon that. So we understand what the needs are and how to assess that and then move on to what the action actually is. So we do provide a lot of the training, which is a great benefit to the AmeriCorps member in that they do receive certifications for those. So that is something that they'll be able to take with them away from AmeriCorps. So once their term of service is over, if they decide to take a job within the emergency management realm, and then without, I mean, the thing is that all of this preparedness information is stuff that you can take to a future employer and be able to say, hey, I have this background, I would like to take on this for our company, and just kind of make sure that they're able to have a great business continuity plan, be able to move forward, because I think we've all been affected by the pandemic, which has been good and bad in that it's been good that it brought a lot of preparedness to the forefront and that people were not prepared. So it really kind of brought that to the front and people kind of understand now the importance of making sure that you have these policies and procedures in place in the event that something does happen to you or your organization. So that is really a benefit in some of the trainings that we offer here through AmeriCorps. And I will say that each AmeriCorps program is different. So if you're in a tutoring program, obviously they're going to provide training for tutoring. If you're in a disaster program, obviously we're going to provide you training with how to respond to a disaster. So each program is unique in that they provide their own trainings, but it is specific to what each program is. And each program within the state of South Carolina, within, you know, the nation really is individualized in that we all have orientations. We all, you know, go over the basics of AmeriCorps and things like that. But then it really is catered to what each program specifics are within that region and what their focus area is.
Well, thank you. And in closing, my last question is, do you have any advice or recommendations toward any future AmeriCorps team members that are thinking about joining?
Yes. The one thing I can tell you, especially about our program, is the best quality that I find in our AmeriCorps members is the willingness to adjust and be prepared for anything. And I think that's one of the reasons why our AmeriCorps program was honestly not really affected by the pandemic in that, you know, we were all prepared. So when they said, okay, well, we've got to change the way we do this, we've got to change our operations, and we've got to change how we're coming in the building, we're not coming in the building, how are we facilitating these trainings? We all had the mindset that you assess and then respond. And that is what you have to be willing to do. You have to be willing to understand that it's never going to be the same. Nothing. Everything is ever changing. We are always updating, finding new things. You've got to be able to go with the flow. And then also, you know, just be prepared for anything. And I think with our AmeriCorps team, we really have done a great job in, you know, bringing those qualities and components together. And if AmeriCorps is something that you're interested in, you can go to nationalservice.gov and they will actually give you a great overview of some of the other AmeriCorps programs, what they offer. We generally start recruitment for our following year probably in June, July, because then that program service year starts for us usually at the beginning of August. So we really kind of like to have everyone onboarded and ready to go so that when August rolls around, we hit the ground running.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SC Disaster Corps Podcast, and a special thanks to Brandy for joining us today and answering some of our questions about what AmeriCorps is and how they operate. You'll be able to find all of our shows on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcast, Breaker, Radio Republic, Pocket Cast, Overcast, and the SC Disaster Corps YouTube channel. If you would like to learn more about the SC Disaster Corps, AmeriCorps, or United Way, please visit unitedwayofanderson.org. For those of you listening on YouTube, please hit the like button, subscribe for more content, and those of you who are subscribed, hit the bell icon to receive notifications for new videos. For those listening on one of our podcast hosting sites, hit the follow button to stay up to date with the podcast. Remember to be looking for our weekly shout-out that will be available on Friday and next week's episode. Thank you for being with us at SC Disaster Corps today. We hope to see you next time, and remember, stay prepared.